All right, here we go. Episode 129. Are we okay in the booth? Set? Levels are all right. Okay, talent out here, always ready as usual. All right, let's do this. By the way, this is, yes, 129. Write that down in the book. And three S's, Jim. Star, smile, strong. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Another new episode is posted every Monday for your podcasting pleasure, your binge-worthy binging, I guess. And don't forget the landing page. You go to WGNplus.com, go to the Jim Toronto Captain Podtastic prompt, and you will find all 128 previous episodes, which means that this, obviously, is episode 129. And right off the bat, we are going to check into the Pop Culture Club this episode with our regular contributor, Emily Amornetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, it's, I'm pretty status quo.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're still, I mean, I've seen now in the news that Megan's showing off her bump any chance she can get now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you know, I do love her, but I am not a fan of the cradling of the non-existent bump. Like, that, you know, you really need to, and I get the excitement, like the first time you're pregnant, right. And it is very exciting, and you can't wait to finally be able to see the bump, and you know, but I mean, then it's just like, you know what? Trust me, it will appear. You'll be cradling it.
The bump will continue. Yes. Once it starts to grow, it will continue to grow for a long
time. And I have I feel like you look back on those early days and you feel silly that you even tried to kind of do anything like that. Because, you know, then when you really, truly have a bump that not only you can cradle, but that you kind of have to in order to just stay comfortable. You're like, right. Oh, God, we got to keep this thing up. You know, like, yeah. So but I still love her. So you're not going to turn me against her.
Well, how could you not? I mean, she's so lovable.
Right. I love her. I love her non-existent bump. It doesn't need to be cradled quite yet, but she'll get there in the end.
So what I wanted to talk about this week is something that I thought we would talk about the whole program, because it really is a very interesting development on many levels. And once again, it kind of points to some of the stuff that that we've talked about here in terms of social media, in terms of the media itself, our culture, and boy, this falls right into it. And what I'm talking about is the recent controversy with, I guess I can put this adjective before her name, Raul, former TV host Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other Megan, the more scandalous Megan.
Yeah, she's got a bump, but it's on her ego.
Oh man!
Holy smokes! So for those who are not aware or not in the know at this point, Megyn Kelly, obviously, who was a very popular host on the Fox News Network for many years, and then came to prominence a couple of years ago when President Trump made a few interesting comments about her during one of the debates, and she quickly parlayed that newfound mainstream fame into almost $70 million 3-year contract with NBC, and became the host of her own morning show, talk show, which was an extension of the Today Show. And there she was. Now, the show has always been an interesting, since its debut about a year or so ago, it really hasn't become the ratings juggernaut that many expected. I can't believe that NBC has been happy with the way it's been performing. But at the same time, they paid so much money, they had to, you know, work to make this thing work, I guess, is the way you'd put it.
Right.
And now, a few weeks ago, now, do you know, I don't know the origin of this. Do you know the origin? Basically, Megyn Kelly lost her job because of some very odd and ill-placed support for blackface. And we can talk about that as well. But do you know how the topic of blackface came up on her TV show?
Yes. Well, I've seen the segment. So this is the crazy thing. So they were doing a segment about Halloween, like costumes.
which on its face should be harmless.
Right. I mean, think about where we're at now. Megyn Kelly's got to be sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe I was doing like this.
This fluff. You know, yeah, this fluff piece.
Fluff piece on Halloween costumes with Jenna Hager.
Right.
Jenna Bush Hager, I should
right,
say.
Yeah.
And, you know, Melissa Rivers, who did for many years did E's Fashion Police. So she kind of is a fit for this type of a panel.
Oh, you know? Grow up. Grow up.
Some other guy, I don't know. He's some kind of, I think he's an entertainment journalist, right?
So yeah, whatever. But the point is, this was far from any kind of controversial topic.
This should not have been.
Nothing.
Theoretically, a career-ending segment.
No.
Right?
It shouldn't even have been an interesting segment.
Yeah. So they're talking about Halloween costumes, and, you know, somehow it turned to, like, they were talking about how, like, in the UK, there are a school in the UK in Kent somewhere got a long list of things that they were not allowed to dress as. And, you know, it was a little bit out there. I can't even remember what some of the examples were. Right. And so Megyn Kelly was like, isn't this getting kind of crazy? Like, I'm sorry, you know, but I don't want my school telling me, I think it was actually even a university. We're not even talking about like little kids,
right.
You know, but, you know, I don't want my school, you know, I want to be like sensitive to, you know, but I don't want my school telling me what to wear and blah, blah, blah. And so they start talking about different, like, there were different examples. I wish I had the comments in front of me. But so now, but then it takes a weird turn when, because she's asking the panel, like, you know, what about this? What about that? And Jenna Bush Hager is talking about, oh, yeah, when I was a kid, we always dressed as a cowboy. And that now would be considered like cultural,
right.
You know, misappropriation. Like that would not be allowed. Again, like can't dress as a Native American, you know, stuff. So these are the types of costumes that they're talking about. And as a panel, and they're kind of discussing and analyzing. And then all of a sudden, you know, Megyn Kelly comes out with, you know, and I don't know about you. I mean, I've never really been one to be PC. It's now, the funny thing about this is the first time I saw it, I didn't see the intro to it, so I didn't have the context, but it made it even worse to see the context, because she basically says, like, she opened up the segment about saying, I'm a little fired up. Okay, those were her words.
Oh, really?
I'm a little fired up about political correctness and Halloween costumes, and, you know, and I guess that the message is that, you know, like, there are so many things that are not, you know, anything less than, you know, 100%
right.
Political correctness is not tolerated, and, you know, blah, blah. But, like, so then she goes to blackface, okay? So now she's got a panel of people who suddenly look like deer in headlights, because they're like, wait, whoa. Because she's like, you know, she's like, I don't know about you, but, like, she's like, and what's the deal with blackface? Like, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, you could dress, like, you could wear anything you wanted. And she's like, is it so wrong for, like, white people to wear black makeup on their skin and black people to wear white makeup? And the people on the panel were like, well, yeah, it is. Like, that's not okay. And she just kind of goes off in her direction of, but I don't understand. Why is that offensive?
And, you know, and the thing about that is that this is one of the main points I want to talk about. It's not even this topic. And I'll tell you, that is a topic unto itself, because I've always been just baffled by the whole blackface, the use of blackface in our culture. I mean, we have this history of blackface, and if people don't know what we're talking about, is that, you know, back in the slave days and even into the 20s and 30s, entertainers, white entertainers, and even black entertainers, which is even more crazy,
right,
would use black makeup and then like white makeup around their mouths, and they would appear in what they would call minstrel shows, but they would be singing and dancing with this black makeup on. And I've never understood what the reason for that was, especially in a time when our country was so racially divided. I mean, during slavery, and we had segregation, and supposedly on its face, you would say that white people, no pun intended, you know, that white people wouldn't want to be black. That was...
Well, no, but this is the thing, and this is why, you know, so the history of blackface is really built around white people
putting, you know, it down. Yeah,
racist white people trying to caricature,
right,
black people with, you know, by wearing blackface and, you know, creating exaggerated features. And it's, you know, the intention at the heart of it was to mock black people,
but it was
and proliferate stereotypes.
And it was, and scary part is it was accepted. And I've seen,
yes,
I mean, the most obvious example was a singer called Al Jolson, who did this. I have an album cover of one of my mom's albums, of an Al Jolson album with him in blackface. And the first talkie film ever was The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson, and he is in blackface. And there were our very prominent performers like Judy Garland and Bing Crosby, who are on film wearing blackface and performing. And so it's a very strange part of our history. It's just an odd thing, and obviously, as time went on, it just became, you know, obsolete and frowned upon, as you were saying. So it's a weird, controversial, you know, topic to even bring up and even discuss, because, as you said, it reinforces stereotypes. It brings back, you know, memories of a very difficult time in our country's history, and it's gone. And so it's best just not to do it or even talk about it.
Right. Yes. Well, but then, and this is what's so surprising about Megyn Kelly, is that, you know,
why bring up that topic? You know, why would you even bring that up? I don't know.
Like I said, she introduced this is the thing. Her thing when she was on Fox News, and part of this probably also plays off of the fact that this was a misfit for, and misstep, but she was a mismatch with this NBC programming, the Today Show programming. When she was on Fox News, I think part of her thing was that she was not into being politically correct. And you know what? That goes over really well with the Fox News audience. But, you know, I think that, I think in general, and even Melissa Rivers, who was on the panel, like I said, you know, when she was like, once she started going and they started looking like, uh-oh, where is this conversation going? And not really sure what to say.
Yeah.
You know, Melissa Rivers did say to her, because like basically what she said, what Megyn Kelly said, was like, well, what is racist? Because, you know, you get in trouble if you're a white person who puts on blackface on Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, back when I was a kid, that was okay, which, I'm sorry, Megyn Kelly is not that much older than I am.
Right.
That was not okay.
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. Yeah.
That was not okay. I do. And I think I don't know where she grew up, but yeah, that was not okay. But she said, as long as you were dressing like a character. And then she continued to kind of double down on this, you know, so where is the line? You know, she talked a little bit about a Real Housewife who got into a little bit of trouble for dressing up like Diana Ross, and people criticized her because she wore this really exaggerated Afro wig, and she they thought that she looked like she had darkened her skin, but she swore that she had done nothing to her skin. But in any case, Megyn Kelly then kind of started doubling down on this with more rhetoric. And Melissa Rivers, and she sort of said, like, well, where is the line? Like, how are we supposed to know? And Melissa Rivers was like, well, a normal person knows the line, right? So she's finally getting some pushback there from her from her panel, but not enough. I mean, I think in the aftermath of this, at least one of the panelists, I don't know what Jenna Bush said about it, but there was a male panelist, I forget his name. Like I said, he's like an entertainment journalist, I think. He tweeted that he was very sorry, that he felt terrible that he did not speak up more loudly in the moment, because, but I think they were all very caught off guard by her remarks. That said, okay, so as Melissa Rivers said, a normal person should know the line. Clearly, Megyn Kelly doesn't know the line, but you're Megyn Kelly. You are the host of a show that, you know, they've almost tried to make it like almost an Oprah-ish tone. Well, which, is a huge mismatch for Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, that's not, and even from the standpoint of, to your point about a person should know, she's old enough to understand the lightning rod that blackface is. Secondly, I don't know if you remember this. This is about 20 some years ago, but Ted Danson got in trouble.
Oh, yes. Well, he was dating Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg, and at that time in the 1990s, a black guy and a white guy and a black woman, that was still viewed in the public arena as somewhat scandalous. And so to make fun, because they were being talked about as this biracial couple, which was at that time a big deal. It doesn't seem like anything today, but once again, we are in different times. And so to bring either attention to it or to just make fun of all the controversy, whether they obviously didn't think it was controversial, but to sort of make a joke of it, they went to the famous Friars Club in New York, which is filled with comedians, and I think she was being roasted. And Ted Danson came wearing blackface, and he got pummeled publicly.
This
was 20 some years ago, and so the line has been drawn for quite a long time on blackface. But to your point about Megyn Kelly, you know, Megyn Kelly was a total, as you said, not only a total mismatch for NBC. You have to understand, Megyn Kelly was popular because, A, she was on Fox, and she had a very, as you said, she had a very specific, perspective, as does that whole station. But more importantly, and why she was doomed, as you said, you're exactly correct, she was doomed to fail on NBC from day one because there's two reasons. She was, A, a time slot hit, meaning that she was between Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity on Fox.
Yeah.
Two of the most popular shows. Bill O'Reilly, whether you like him or not, whether you agree with his politics or not, whether you like him as a person or not, I'm not talking about that. You cannot deny that for a good decade or more, he had the number one cable news show in the country. That is fact. So she had that lead-in. She had that audience leading into her show. And then right after it, Sean Hannity, another popular show on Fox. So she was right in between those two. So if you're leaving the station on, she's going to be the benefit of those ratings. But most importantly, and this is true, and it's not debatable, we know that the majority of the audience watching Fox are mostly white men.
Well, yeah.
And here's this pretty blonde woman.
Right.
In between these two guys. And so.
But, you know, you have to give her credit, though. She was more than a pretty.
Oh, no. But my point. Yeah, she's well spoken. She's a lawyer.
She was hard hitting.
I understand. No, I understand. Yeah, she could speak well. She's a lawyer. I understand that. But it didn't hurt.
Which, by the way, also makes it all the more mystifying that she could be so ignorant.
Yeah,
but
it didn't hurt that she was attractive.
Right.
In between these two old middle-aged guys.
Right, right.
Okay? So now you take her out of that and you put her on, first of all, don't forget, whether it's basic cable or not, Fox is still a pay-view service. And even though Bill O'Reilly's ratings and stuff like that, Fox's ratings were high, It's not like network television that goes to every television in the country. And so now you've got a whole different mainstream audience. And when you put her on in the morning, like you're saying, and turning the show into an Oprah-like show, it's a whole different audience now. It's not the conservative white guy of which she was espousing the conservative viewpoint and being talking about Christmas and Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays and issues like that. Now you're going to a completely different audience made up of women who are viewing her in a completely different way.
But also, she was trying to play a completely different type that's just not her, which, again, is how she got herself in trouble doing what should have been a very innocuous.
Well because she was doing some of her Fox shtick.
Right.
Exactly. Now on NBC. And as I said, different world, different time, and mostly different medium. On NBC, which is network, you've got a bigger cross-section of the country watching, and B, you've got more women than men watching at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And so, as I said, they're looking at the show and looking at her from a completely different viewpoint. The guys who are watching her at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, they just, as I said, just visually, they don't care about what her hairstyle was or what dress she was wearing. She's pretty. But a woman will go, oh, I like her hair, or oh, I don't like her hair, or why is she wearing that? A whole different kind of viewpoint, as in addition to the content, even visually, she's dealing with a different audience.
But I think, and I don't know what her ratings were. I mean, it was clear the show wasn't working.
No.
If you even watched a couple episodes of it, she was so awkward in that tone of show.
Yeah, that's not her forte at all.
But you know, again, that should have been a home run, because that time slot is in between the Today morning show, and so that was like the third hour, and then so it fell in between the Today show, like the core morning, you know, show, and Today with Kathy Lee and Hoda. And people love Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yeah, but
and
once
so
again,
if you're staying tuned in, so that should have been. I mean, I don't know what the ratings were. I don't know if they were low or not or whatever. But even just anecdotally, watching that show, it was like, this cannot go on that much longer. But even still, nobody expected it really to get wound up so quickly. And you know, the interesting thing is, now, do you know that the day after, first of all, she made the remarks, right? Crazy thing too is, like I said, her panel seemed to already be like, whoa, what? Where are you going with this? Then she then very quickly segues into like an odd segment about, it was like a huge like right turn to talking about sleep and wake habits and telling some silly anecdote about watching it was really silly. I don't even know why. You know, like when getting up early in the morning so she can have her me time before her kids get up or whatever. And so now she's on to a new thing, having no idea
of the firestorm.
She's not even getting the vibe from her panelists. Like, whoa, maybe this has not gone the way that it should have, or maybe I didn't express myself well or whatever. So now she, you know, whatever, that at some point between when they wrap that show and the next day, she realizing that this was like, that there was this, you know,
problem.
Massive reaction, people were appalled by this. She sends out an email, I think it was, to apologize to her staff. Okay. Now, at some point, I think it becomes clear, like, that is not good enough, and you're going to have to do an on-air apology, which she did the next day. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So now that was almost as bad because, you know, here she is, like, she's apologizing. She seemed upset, but she's still not convinced that she totally understands why.
No, I don't know. No, she didn't. And that's the point where we're also at a point here where, and this is the bigger point, is like I said, a broadcaster should know where the minefields are. The fact that she didn't understand that she was getting into something that was going to be a minefield, and in today's world, you have to if you're going to talk about a topic that is potentially, even potentially, because we've seen sometimes when there's been topics that aren't even on their face controversial and people have gotten in trouble.
Yeah.
But when you are, by the sound of what you're saying, she brought this topic up herself. You know, you're already treading on a minefield here where if you say one thing wrong, in today's world with social media and the immediacy of people being able to react, and in many cases, people can react in any way they want, whether it is right or wrong, that gets out there. And if there is a controversy, it is quickly picked up by the media. So, A, why bring this up? And B, if you're going to bring it up, make sure that what you say is very well thought out. Because, see, once again, on Fox, that type of talk would go over fine. And no one no one would question it. And even if it got questioned and there was a firestorm, she at the actual network, she would have been backed up.
Well, here's the other
and they thing. Did so not and NBC did not have her back, and she already saw with what happened with Roseanne and other people, not only the controversy about race, but you can see how swiftly, if you do seem to cross a line, especially on network television. Once again, Roseanne on ABC. This is NBC.
Yes, but you know what, though? NBC made sure before they pulled the plug on her that they trotted her out for the apology.
Oh, I understand that, but still, within a week.
You know, there's another dimension to this, too, which is not only does she introduce this as the topic that she wants to discuss, and she's very uneducated about the topic, she's completely ignorant about it, but she brings it up to an all-white panel.
Right,
so
exactly.
There's no one from the black community represented.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, it would have been more sensible for her at a point in the conversation to take her handheld mic and go out into the audience and ask some of the audience members who are black if they can explain it, or
what's the sensitivity?
Because she's saying, I'm not getting this. Well, you know what? You're not getting it. You're trying to understand this. You don't have a single black panelist here, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe there's something. So that was like, that in and of itself added an additional dimension of, you know, it was just made it even more offensive.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the whole thing, and once again, what people have to understand, especially in these days, is that everyone, this is the society that we are in now, and I've been talking about the internet, and I joke a lot about it. But at the end of the day, you have to understand whether we, you know, I always joke, oh, the internet, you know, there's no question that the internet, in my view, to be honest with you, and I'm not defending her at all, but we have seen, you know, on paper, the internet sounds great.
Yeah.
The internet and a lot of technologies on paper sound fantastic. And when they're sitting at, when these tech people are in a conference room writing things on a whiteboard and saying, won't this be cool? And here's how we do it. They're in this little bubble of the actual application and the most pristine idea of what that application can do. And then when it hits the real world, they forgot one major thing. The human element.
Right.
And the human element, sad to say, many times corrupts even the most high-minded idea because we are flawed. And so we are more and more seeing, sadly, there's no question, if the internet was just think about 20 some years ago when we first started to use email. I mean, oh my gosh, this was an amazing tool.
Yeah.
To be able to talk you know, I mean, to send a message within seconds, to get something back, I mean, it was revolutionary. And in fact, in terms of time, and I mean, you could send something to someone across the country, across the world. I mean, unbelievable. So there was no question when email was kind of the first toe, the first dipping of the toe into the internet world. Wow. I mean, there was no way that you could ever say this is a bad thing. And then when right. Google and search engines came along and you're saying, well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, I can access all this information right at my fingertips. Unbelievable. Right. You know, right. Once again, how can you not have been, you know, it's hard to think about how, you know, our innocence 20 some years ago. But then when social media became the next evolution, that's when all of a sudden it wasn't just the ability, it was now our opinions.
And everything is amplified.
Yes, and our reactions. Yeah, so. Well, my point is now you were bringing in more of the human element. Initially with email, that was private, you know, between me and you, if I sent you a mm-hmm. thing. And once again, going on the internet to shop or to find out information, that was a one-on-one thing. But when the social media aspect came out and suddenly, you know, you had Twitter and you had Facebook and you had all these different, you know, initially MySpace and some of these things that were encouraging public discourse and public sharing of ideas or opinions or photos. Or let's not forget, I mean, you know, we've always had tabloids. You talk about, you know, politically incorrect. As I said, we're talking about Ted Danson. Remember, Prince Harry dressed up as a Nazi.
I know. Well, here's the thing. But that's the thing about Prince Harry is that if Prince Harry had been in a job where you could be fired, he probably would have been fired. The problem is you can't fire him from the royal family.
No, but my point is I'm just using as an example, as I'm saying, is that there people, you know, public figures have always made, you know, faux pas and missteps, and they have been reported. But now, with the internet and the social media aspect, now it's not just celebrities getting the gotcha. It's regular people that are finding themselves getting fired from jobs for things that they've said and things that they've done. And what's ironic is that now, in this case, you know, as I said before, this if you go to a non-internet world, even the comments that she made, if we weren't in this kind of a world right now, for all you know, I don't know how many people were watching that show, that may have just gone by the wayside. But the immediacy of the internet and Twitter, clearly, once people saw that, a firestorm was created by average people just going, what the heck did I just see?
I don't know if it would have blown up into as big a thing as quickly, but I do think that there would have been consequences for her, because even back in the 90s, before things really were that was back. I mean, you know, talk of like scandals and Roseanne, now she's in another one. But back then, remember, she had that whole, you know, national anthem scandal, and we didn't really have social media and the internet then, and people were pretty upset about that. Then it did get picked up by the more traditional
media. Yeah, but pretty upset. But you know what? She didn't lose her show.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty upset.
That's true.
Is one thing. But my point is the consequences now are swifter and they're more serious. All she did, again, I'm not defending Roseanne Barr. She put a tweet out. It was stupid. It was ill-advised. It was an abhorrent thing to say.
Also very ignorant.
Ignorant, yeah. And within 24 hours, not only was she castigated in the public arena, she lost her show. She was kicked out of show business. I mean, that's how swift. I mean, Megyn Kelly, what's going to be interesting here is, so she's already proven now that she is a, you know, while, you know, she came to prominence thanks to Donald Trump, if you remember, in the debates, he said something that she was kind of snarky to him, and he made some kind of really terrible comments about her and possibly menstruating, which was ridiculous. But that elevated her. She was well known in a small circle
Yeah, it raised her profile, you're right, to the mainstream. It
into really the did. Mainstream, and that's what she parlayed to get the NBC job and to become this mainstream thing. Now, what she's basically proven by this faux pas here is that she really wasn't ready for prime time, that she really is kind of a niche person. She's, as I said, I'm not debating her qualifications. She's very well spoken. She's a lawyer. She has her opinions. But my point is, whatever her deal was, whatever her shtick or whatever you want to call it, it worked well in the smaller universe. And if you are going to go and do something on a national scale, on a network scale, you always have to be cognizant that you are not talking to just a little group.
Right.
You are talking to a huge cross-section. And as I said, the added, and that's just general broadcasting 101. Now add the new layer of the immediacy of the reaction and the opinions of people to influence what happens to you. And you really have to be on your, and that's why network television really is kind of boring, because it really can't push many boundaries, because it does have this kind of invisible, fence around it to say, if you get too controversial, NBC did not stand by her. ABC did not stand by Roseanne. I guarantee you, if Megyn Kelly would have gotten in this trouble on Fox, Fox would have backed her up.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes you wonder, though, if she had made the same comments on Fox, what level of outrage would there have been? Because think about the audience.
Right. Exactly.
I don't even know. Again, that may have gone potentially unchecked.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I feel like that's an audience that
would have said, we agree with you.
Right. Potentially has the same level of ignorance that they like to, I don't want to say everyone who watches Fox News is ignorant.
No, I understand what you're saying. No.
But if you're agreeing with something like that, but you're hiding behind this facade that, like, you know, I don't believe in being politically correct for the sake of being politically correct. It's like, well.
Well, perfect.
Okay, but you can't be you don't need to be offensive and racist either, you know.
Perfect example is somebody who's on Fox right now. If you remember 6 or 8 months ago, Laura Ingraham, who has her own show, came out and made some disparaging remarks about one of the survivors at the school where the shooting was earlier this year, at the high school.
Yep. Yeah.
One of the kids that became of an advocate and was appearing at all the marches. And she said something about, oh, well, you couldn't even get into Yale or something like that. She was making fun of him getting, not being able to get into some Ivy League school or something. And she got some heat from that. But ultimately, Fox, she said it on Fox. Not only did Fox, and she even lost some initially, she lost some sponsors.
Yeah, she did.
But on a network thing, if you would have lost two or three major sponsors, that was it. Because that's what happened to Roseanne. If you remember, after Roseanne made those comments about Verley Jarrett, sponsors were dropping out, and as soon as that happened, ABC said done. And and Fox instead, she lost some major sponsors, but for Laura Ingraham to have said that, the timing was bad. It was just on the heels of the high school shooting. Right. So it was inappropriate there. It was a personal attack against an 18-year-old kid.
Right.
You know, so it was inappropriate. Forget, you know, we're talking about Megyn Kelly here with a racial thing. Forget about that. What Laura Ingraham did was inappropriate, was unnecessary, and was a personal attack. She took some heat, but she didn't lose her job.
Right.
And she really didn't even overtly apologize. She made a comment, kind of a conciliatory remark, but she didn't even really say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again. But the difference is that, as you said, which is correct, that audience, that's the viewpoint there. So it didn't cause a firestorm with necessarily Fox viewers or even the Fox management. It made a little more of a firestorm when the mainstream media found out about it and said, hey, what's going on here? But at the end of the day, Laura Ingraham not only did not lose her show, but from what I understand, her ratings have gone up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeez. So it's, you know, but my point, the bigger point here is that Megyn Kelly, I would have thought, would be smart enough to know that, you know, you're playing in a different playground now.
Oh, you're hosting a daily national talk show. I mean, yeah. There's no room to be uneducated and uninformed to this degree. I mean,
yeah, and
know.
So that's what just kind of blows my mind on that.
Think about it, though. That makes me wonder. You cannot tell me that, and I'm not sure, I put the blame squarely on her. I mean, she's the one who took this stance. But, I mean, there must have been writers and producers on the show who knew what at least had some kind of outline or sketch.
Well, but here's my point.
What the segment was going to cover.
No, but you know what's interesting is the fact that you just said, which I was not aware of, you said that she initially apologized to her staff.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, mm-hmm. So to me, using my Columbo deductive reasoning, I have to believe then that perhaps she went off script.
Yeah, maybe.
And that she, because don't forget, to your point too, because I didn't see the segment, you did. Like you said, the panelists looked like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
So you know that the producers, you worked in public relations, you know that you prepare your people. You know that the producers probably told these panelists, okay, we're going to talk about, you know, costumes and what's good and what's bad and, you know, and tips and stuff like that. So they probably thought that, you know, the producers, I think, were caught off guard. And they probably pitched this to these panelists as a very innocuous kind of little fun Halloween costume tips. And I think that Megyn Kelly, it sounds like the fact that she did have to apologize to her staff initially, which she did, and that you say that the panelists looked like they were shocked. Yeah, I think she called an audible. I think she decided that she saw this topic, and maybe even in her mind, I think she may have said, you know what, this is, I want to do something more edgy here, and I want to get my opinion out on this topic, and I think that she just became a rogue, and she, because the fact that you said that she, you know, apologized to her staff means to me that she probably pulled the rug out from under them, too.
Yeah, that's true, because, yeah, she was, the main thing, I mean, she kicked it off by, She put the stake in the ground that, you know, she was sort of tired of all this political correctness around Halloween costumes. And then they discussed, like I said, this, you know, sometimes like the school that provided guidelines for what you can and can't wear, which is crazy to me that people even.
Well, what's funny, though? Now, I just watched a recent episode of, this is ironic that you even are saying this, because there was just the latest episode of The Conners. You know,
I watched that. Yeah,
the Roseanne show talked specifically about this. One of the grammar school kids, the school had a list of acceptable or unacceptable costumes based on political correctness, and that was kind of the whole viewpoint of, is this right? Is it too far? Is it not? And you know, the Dan character, the John Goodman character, felt that it was going too far, and the Sarah Gilbert, who is her son. She felt, well, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. So they talked about that exact thing. Now I wanted to talk about this to you because you've got a couple of kids. Did you get anything from your school about any kind
costumes? The elementary school, the kids don't dress up for elementary school.
Oh, they don't?
I think because it's too much of a distraction, to be honest, for them during the day. I think
always do that, and didn't you?
No, I think it's kind of sad. I think that it would be nice for them to be able to dress up, but I do think that I'm not sure that teachers are able to get anything done on days when kids are all dressed up like that.
Yeah, right.
So the elementary school does not dress up.
Oh, that's interesting.
The preschool dresses up.
Yeah.
There were no guidelines sent. I mean, the only thing actually that they did ask was that the kids wear costumes over their clothes. And I think that's just from a practical standpoint, because right. when you have preschoolers, you can't have
can't be changing.
You can't have a dozen kids wearing these big elaborate costumes all day. They've got to go to potty every right. 5 seconds. You know, they need assistance from their teachers to do that. So they wear their costumes to school in the morning. They all see each other. They do actually do a little trick or treating around the classrooms. And then by their, they had a Halloween party today, which the parents are welcome to join, and I was there. And the kids didn't even have their costumes on for that, because they had already kind of done their trick-or-treating around the school. They all saw each other, and then that was kind of that. But there were no guidelines except just please make sure they wear clothes underneath, because we're going to be changing out of the costumes.
Well, I think the Megyn Kelly thing, too, is another example of what I've always – you've seen people in the public eye like this also make terrible mistakes. We were talking about she brought up a very controversial topic, you know, blackface. You know, once again, why even go to the well on that? Why even bring that up? A. B, you know, her show, as you were saying, it never really gelled. She was in the wrong. She's the network, that network kind of format, an Oprah kind of show, an early morning show that was mainly aimed at women. You know, I think she views it herself. I think Megyn Kelly thinks like she is a very, you know, smart, intellectual, opinionated person who wants to get her views out there. And that's not what morning TV show is about.
Well, I also think like she just doesn't have the demeanor. She's not really. She was working really hard to seem warm.
And
witty and humorous. Right. Like everything that like Oprah was.
Right. And she's not that. Her. And this is my point. And this is
three. Can't blame them like you said, they saw an opportunity to parlay her kind of sudden, more mainstream profile into something else, the next stepping stone. So it's not a bad idea to do that, but it's a bad idea to take the job when you're clearly not right for the job.
Well, here's the thing, and this is my point, and that goes, I mean, it's almost thank you, because you led to point number three. People, and it's everybody, it's more amplified when you're seeing it on television and with a public figure. There are times when you need within yourself to understand and know where you should be and where you shouldn't be. And so often we see people get their egos inflated by their success, and they step into different areas where they don't belong. They think that once they have conquered one thing, they are invincible, and they don't realize either their limitations or the fact that this is my niche. And mm-hmm. some people do understand that, and they have amazingly successful and long careers because they know Pat Sajak. You know, Vanna White has never hosted a talk show. Vanna White knows that she's good at turning letters and wearing dresses and giving small talk banter to Pat Sajak. Now, don't forget, yes. Pat Sajak had a talk show. It failed miserably, and he's never done it again.
Oh, my gosh. I did not remember that. But
yes, he had a talk show, and it was on. Wow. It was terrible. It was a late-night talk show on CBS, and he was gone. And he's been on, and then he went right back to Wheel of Fortune, and he's never left there. Bob Barker never had a talk show.
Right.
He was on. He knew what he was good at, and he did it. And perfect example. Now, here was Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien owned that time slot at 11:30. He was popular. He was hip. He had good ratings. He was viewed as the cool guy on TV. And then he said, "Well, if I can do, I want the Tonight Show." Completely wrong. He does not have a mass appeal kind of comedy. That is not his forte. He could have been in that time slot. He could have been. And don't forget, while he was in that time slot, he was hosting Grammy Awards. He was hosting mainstream things. But he still had that nice little niche show. And he wanted the Tonight Show. And he did not belong there.
But I still think that that's a way more logical next step. You know, from the show he was doing to the Tonight Show.
But my point is,
then trying to take Megyn Kelly from Fox News from a Fox News anchor. Okay, remember an anchor,
right?
Right, where the only time she's interacting with the panel is like there are a bunch of talking heads.
But my point
about
is,
whatever, to trying to make her into Oprah.
Right, you know? But here's the thing. Here's my point though. I don't fault NBC because NBC says, hey, wait a minute, this woman's got some juice here. So let's use that. I blame Megyn Kelly. This is my point, is the person themselves. You need to be, when you're going to do something like that, you need to sit down by yourself and say, now, wait a minute. Am I really right for this? Megyn Kelly, I have no problems with her even using NBC as in a bidding war to up her price with Fox. But at the end of the day, she should have known, you know what? Fox is where I belong. That is my niche.
Yeah.
That's who I belong with. That's where I'm popular. That's who I am talking to. Why shake the apple cart? And to your point, you shouldn't have to redefine yourself. You've already defined yourself. You've already won the lottery. Take advantage of that and be Bob Barker and do that well for 25 years.
Right, yes.
But they're always thinking that they could do something better or more or different, and it's like, no. Like I said, Conan, he is in a wasteland. You don't hear his name mentioned with the late night people anymore. It's Jimmy Kimmel, it's Jimmy Fallon, it's Steve Colbert. Even though he's on at 10 o'clock and he is by rights a part of the late night landscape, Conan is not mentioned. He is a footnote now.
Yeah. But listen, he can't, but it doesn't always have to be that way, because think about it. Remember when Jon Stewart had his own late night talk show and that did not last long. And then he went to Comedy Central, and then look how popular the Daily Show became.
I understand that, but still, once again,
the Daily Show became like a
right. But
whole
once again,
thing.
cable, not network. Jon Stewart was never on.
That's fine, but I'm just saying there is. It's not the end. Well, look, this may be the end of Megyn Kelly's
career.
Why
do you think Jon Stewart did not? Jon Stewart was first. Well, Jon Stewart was offered the Letterman show before Colbert. Mm-hmm. He didn't take it.
Well, he doesn't want to, but also he didn't want to work that hard anymore.
But my point is, I think he understood where his niche was.
Right. But that's okay to have. Yeah, it's okay to have. Now, Conan O'Brien will work again because he's Conan O'Brien and maybe he wasn't a fit. Megyn Kelly, not only was she not a fit, but now this is very problematic for her.
Oh,
and
she's
it's hard
done.
To know, where does she go from here unless Fox News brings her back?
Well, that's the only place.
Always a possibility.
No, that's
right?
The only, yeah, because see, understand, yeah, the only, because Fox actually, I mean, depending if they want to really shake up their schedule, that's the only place she can go, because she could actually then kind of redefine herself as a martyr.
Yeah.
To the mainstream. Like, oh, all I did was say the truth and they got rid of me and I'm coming back to the people. You know, she could come back as kind of a prodigal son and kind of she almost has a badge of courage or a badge of honor with the conservative or the Fox thing. Like, hey, you know what? You showed it to them and we'll take you back. So that's the only place she could go. But she cannot go anywhere else because, you know, her stance, as well as her trying to then, and this happens too. Not only does the offense hurt people, but so many times the apology is worse than the offense.
Oh, well, so the apology, I mean, again, like, so they trotted her out the very next day. She was very sheepish. She was kind of on the verge of tears. She was obviously embarrassed. And she had a panel. So she had a PBS commentator named Amy Holmes on the show and a journalist and civil rights activist named Roland Martin on the show. They are both black.
Yeah, suddenly now all of a sudden she's got African Americans there.
Well, and she basically opened it up by first and foremost apologizing. And also, you know, wouldn't say recapping her remarks, but basically saying, like, I've heard a lot of what you've all said. You know, the reaction to my remarks yesterday has been, you know, very strong, and I've heard what you've all said, and I am ready to listen, and I want to listen. And she introduced her panelists and basically said, like, okay, let's talk about this. I want to be more educated. And even there, okay, so fine. So now you're finally doing the right thing. Okay, so now you're opening up this topic to two people who actually can speak, you know, from authority on this, you know, with some authority on this topic, or with a lot of authority on this topic. This is the right thing to do, instead of just doubling down on some really ignorant remarks that you've made. But even in that segment, she was way in over her head. I mean, I thought her panelists were amazing, and they were very gracious sitting across the table from her, you know, and despite what she had just said the day before, which I'm sure was massively offensive to them. So that's great. But she couldn't even, like, again, she just seemed like her eyes were kind of glazed over. Like, I don't think she was really, that was more of a, to me, it seemed like she was going through the motions of, like, all right, now you're going to get out there and apologize,
right,
and you're going to have a panel that can actually discuss this. Like,
Well, once again,
but she seems so out of her depth.
Well, you have to understand too, and I don't know how much you watch Fox or not, but I watch all of them. I like to watch all of them. I like to watch Fox. I like to watch MSNBC. I like to watch CNN. I like to get a cross section of all of them. I don't prescribe to one or the other, because I'm still kind of in my media. My mind is always kind of stuck in my media training of just absorbing everything and looking at all sides. So I don't fall on one side or the other. I don't watch one more than the other. You have to remember that the modus operandi at Fox, if you watch it with any kind of regularity, what they do is, most of the time when Megyn Kelly was on Fox, for the most part, many of her guests thought like she did. So
yeah,
they were talking to each other and just speaking the same language. So
right,
they were just reinforcing each other's opinions. However, there are times when Fox will bring someone on the other side in their view of being fair and balanced. And when that happens, most of the time, the Fox person will talk about their topic. They will let the person give their thing. They will have the last word, and they will cut that person off very quickly. And
yeah,
so once again, they're really, while they have offered the opposite opinion, they don't really listen to it or even to think that they're going to change their mind. They offer it as almost an obligation to say, okay, here's the other side, but to my audience, wink, 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 we know how wrong they are. So
right,
once again, to your point, when she had these other people on now the next day, African-American people on the panel explaining it to her, she's not even used to that, because she doesn't understand that she needs to actually, you know, listen and maybe learn. She's not used to that. She's used
right
to, this is my opinion, this is right, my audience agrees with me. And ultimately, what this was about, as we said at the top of this was about somebody that really didn't understand her new audience, didn't relate well to her new audience, and was not accepted by her new audience. So this was this was doomed to fail from day one, because I said she was out of her element. She was with a whole different audience, and personally, I think that's not what, you know, she wasn't looking to engage with people. Her idea was, I'm going to change these people's opinions. I'm going to educate them. That's not what you do on morning television,
right,
on a network.
Yeah,
it's more about engagement. That's what you said. At the end of the day, you said, hey, people love Kathy Lee and Hoda. Why? Because they're drinking wine. They're
warm
just,
and fuzzy.
Yeah, they're just
not
having
talking
fun
about anything
yeah
too serious.
Exactly. And that's what, and Megyn Kelly, I think, believes, hey, I'm a lawyer, I've got opinions. I'm going to change the way people think. No, because you have to remember, even Oprah, who will always be the queen. I'm not a huge Oprah fan at all, but I certainly appreciate her success, and I know what she did. Oprah was able to get her opinions across and really become an influencer by initially engaging, by being a part. Oprah never talked down to her audience.
And Oprah also was very genuine. She was who she was, and that's who. I don't believe that when Oprah goes home at night, she's a completely different person.
On
her show. Megyn Kelly doesn't have that. That's not her personality.
No, she's not warm and fuzzy.
Her nature.
She did not belong. I mean,
she sounds ridiculous when she does a segment. Even on, like I said, then she kind of did a right turn to this segment about how are you sleeping?
And that's just not
she
her thing.
Ridiculous, no. Right?
It just didn't work. And this is my point about knowing your limitations or knowing your niche. And it's not about, you mean a person can't have ambition? No. That's not the case. It is, you know what? If you do something well and you do it and you're successful at it, be grateful and thankful of that. And it's okay to do that. You don't have to go and say, well, if I do this, and we've seen, look at the, I don't know how much you know, but for instance, in the last several years, this one guy just bought the Chicago Tribune. He made all his money in tech. He knew nothing about the media, but now he's flush with all this money and he says, I'm going to become a media baron. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, he's gone. Just because you sold an app for hundreds of millions of dollars doesn't mean you can jump into another world,
right,
and be successful there. Be grateful that you found a success and something you're good at, and just be good there. Megyn Kelly could have leveraged the NBC bid, made her $70 million, and still been on Fox, and still been popular and made that money. She didn't need to be a mainstream personality, which we have proven she is not.
Right.
You know, and so look at Drew Carey. Drew Carey is now going to be on Price is Right for the rest of his life. And other comedians can make fun of him, but you know what? He's going to have a job for 40 years. He's going to make $5 or $10 million a year. So who's wrong and who's right? The guy that's going to the Comedy Cellar telling edgy jokes because he's cool, or Drew Carey, who says, right, you know what? I won the lottery with this job. Yeah, you know what? I might want to be able to tell some risque jokes or be hip, but you know what? This ain't a bad gig. The people like me. I have fun, and it's an easy job, and it's a great paying job. What's wrong with that?
Right.
You got to know. Sometimes you just got to realize, holy cow, I got lucky. Why press my luck? And here's Megyn Kelly. Wow, I mean, so many mistakes, but at the very end, at the end of the day, why bring up blackface? I mean, such a tinderbox.
It's a tinderbox.
It was almost like, I wonder if it was self-destruction. I mean, why would you bring that up?
No. I mean, once again, as with the Roseanne thing, I think this is just pure ignorance.
Yeah,
like, wow. I really think she is just that. She is just that ignorant. That's what it is. I don't think there was any thought given to it. That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
you know, there was no thought.
Well,
but you know, I mean, she's hired an attorney. Okay.
Oh, she's going to make, believe me, you know, even
see how much of her, you know, multi-million dollar.
Yeah. She's got like $43 million left on that contract at the very least, even if they gave her half, which they're probably going to do. She's going to walk away with $20 million, which ain't bad.
Between her and Matt Lauer, you have to wonder, like, God, NBC, what is happening? With their budget must be busted for like the rest of the.
Don't forget. When NBC took the Tonight Show away from you talk about NBC, when they took the Tonight Show away from Conan O'Brien, He got $40 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah. but the thing about the, yeah, but at least, but Conan O'Brien, they took it away and gave it back to Jay Leno.
Right. But my point is, I'm still saying bad. I'm just saying bad contracts.
Yeah.
I mean my point is, they're paying people for not working. They're paying people hundreds of millions of dollars for not working.
Right, but he was not fired for cause.
I'm not talking about the performance. I'm just talking about, at the end of the day, they signed such terrible contracts and agreed to such terrible contracts. Look at how much money they are paying out to people for not working.
I know, but so now, maybe that is even going to change the landscape of job negotiations in any industry, because, God, remember like a year ago or so when we did not live in a world where literally daily people's lives would crumble because of the stupid, stupid things that they do, and they weren't really getting caught for it or called out for it, and now they are. And
yeah, right. You know, yeah, that's true.
Because it's like, well, NBC signs these contracts. They want the talent, or, you know, Matt Lauer, they want to keep him there. I mean, he was like the king of the morning talk show. Right. Megyn Kelly, what a coup. We'll get her over from Fox News, blah, right. blah. We just need to get them here. Do you think in a million years, NBC, when they were re-upping Lauer's contract, they ever thought he had a little button underneath his desk, you know, and that he was like texting the interns? Like,
right, I know.
You know, it's, all I kinds know. Of, like, I don't know. How could they have foreseen that? Or even Megyn Kelly, how could they ever think that she could be so ignorant or so stupid? I think on one hand, yeah, maybe they need to be smarter about what they're giving to the talent. But on the other hand, you just think, God, they must be going, you've got to be kidding me that now we're in this situation.
Well, as I said,
again, like, who are these people we're hiring?
Well, everybody, though, at the end of the day, and this is the point I made at the beginning, and it's a good way to end, is that we are in a different time. We are in a transformational time. As you were saying, there is a line. We don't know where. There are so many issues today where we are figuring out where the boundaries are and where the lines are. And sometimes they are not clear, and sometimes they are. And I would have to say that at the end of the day, if you are in the public eye, or even if you're in the private sector, you have to just really take a step back. As I always say, there's times when I am writing an email about something, or even a Facebook post, and I write it, and before I send it out, I look at it and go, now, how can somebody misconstrue this?
Right.
Because if they can, I'm not going to send it, or I'm going to reword it. And that's, to me, that is what you're just, you need to just have that extra layer of self-editing.
Well, unless you work in the Oval Office, in which case there are never
that's a whole different
story
thing.
For another day.
Yeah, but I just think we are in a time right now where you cannot predict what react, because we are in a world where everybody's opinion, whether it's right or wrong, is out there. And you never know where public opinion is going to shift. And we are in a very divisive time. There is very little gray area. And so I think Megyn Kelly and so many of these other people are more examples of why, like I said, Roseanne Barr, there was no reason in hell for her to make a comment about Valerie Jarrett.
Right.
I mean, that one was so crazy. Valerie Jarrett's not even the public eye anymore. Nobody even knows who she is anymore, really, and never really did. She was kind of an insider in the Obama administration. Unless you were really, an insider or someone that was really into politics, you even knew who she was. Why say something when you just got this gift of a hit TV show after 20 years to come back to you, when you were being a judge on Last Comic Standing?
Right.
I mean, why do it? Once again, Megyn Kelly, hey, you know what? This is what you signed up for. You left Fox because you wanted the money. So when you go to NBC, you know what? You're going to have to do really stupid segments about costumes and about getting up late. That's the deal you signed. That's the Faustian deal you signed with the devil now. You can't be Megyn Kelly and be on NBC. You can't be the feisty, opinionated person. That's not what goes there. And, you know, if people don't know that, then that's what happens. They step in, they create these, these landmines for themselves. And my gosh, it's so crazy to see these, like you were saying before, this blow up right in people's careers. You see them disintegrate right before your eyes and within minutes, right. Minutes. You know, it's just unbelievable. But wow. Well, anyway. Well, thank you for your insights and your info. Once again, I always enjoy chatting, especially about media stuff with you, because both came from a PR world. And and believe me, wouldn't you have loved to have been able to sit next to Megyn Kelly and try to explain to her? Because I don't think she still knows what she did wrong.
Oh, God. I mean, right. Yeah.
Could you imagine if you were the public relations person at NBC that next day?
No, I that would be like my that's when you go into crisis mode.
Yeah, and I don't think, and to your point, I don't think if her situation, like they put two African Americans. I don't think that you could even repair what she did. I think they made the right choice. I mean, I think she was beyond repair.
Right. Oh, they definitely made that was the right thing to do, was to just reassign the third hour to someone else completely and cancel her show. And again, it's you hope that all of the crew members
who worked on it
get reassigned elsewhere. You know, you hope nobody else loses their job over someone else's stupidity. Yeah. But I wouldn't, I think if you were trying to manage that crisis, no, that was not a fun day. I'm sure.
Well, thank you once again, Emily, as we say goodbye, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Thank you. And so ends episode number 129 here of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Thanks for your loyalty and coming back. For whatever you do, you scroll, you click. I don't know what you do, but thanks for coming here. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. And once again, this is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.